On BYUSN, much of the college football world centering on the elusive Pac-12 media deal and the potential expansion dominoes that could fall from it. Is Apple Plus the answer?
With Ted Lasso, perhaps. Plus, day one of practice, takeaways, and RB1. Aiden Robbins joins the program.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, August 2nd. I am Spencer Linton alongside our outfit coordinator, Jerem Jordan.
I don't like it when we wear the same shirt. We don't talk about wardrobe.
We don't really have
random.
To.
It's random.
We got so much BYU stuff that we don't typically have to.
It's a blessing. Once a year, we wear the same shirt. So here we are.
But it's especially prominent today because it's like such a unique shirt with the gray sleeves.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, the good news is we are how far away from the first game?
Countdown to the Bearcats.
1 month away.
Okay.
1 month.
We're almost there. Not. Listen, everybody, it's going to be a long month, but it's going to be fun. We've got fall camp. We got soccer and volleyball prior to that. And then we got football. And you know what? We all wore a white shirt on our missions as well.
Elder Jordan, what do you have for the people on the show today?
Were you an AP, by the way? I've never asked you this.
Oh, my gosh. Were you really going to make me answer that on television?
On today's show. I wasn't. Just zone later. The Pac-12 reported TV deal. They sucked up to the press. Nice. By TV, I mean streaming. Fall camp day one takeaways. We preview the running back room with Aiden Robbins and Aaron Rodgers on Zach Wilson and his future.
Love what I'm hearing out of New York Jets camp. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending. Oh my gosh. What is the Pac-12 conference going to do? They are in full-on scramble mode.
5-0 versus the Pac-12 in football and bragging rights for eternity. Hang the banner, and we did!
Oh, throwback!
Oh yeah, that.
To the de facto Pac-12 South title.
At the time, we were proud of that. Now, I don't know if we would be.
What's Trending presented by FeastBox, donating 10% of every order to Full of Hope, a charitable organization that feeds hungry families. Yesterday, as we reported, Pac-12 President George Kliavkoff met with university presidents across the Pac-12 and athletic directors to present the conference's proposed media deal. What deal is it? We're still not really sure.
What's the deal?
ESPN's Pete Thamel reported that the primary deal presented to those Pac-12 executives and athletic directors was a primarily Apple streaming deal. Now, this contract would have incentivized tiers, which would give it strong upside if certain subscription numbers are met. Yikes. So now revenue is just based on getting people to sign up. Ooh, that's tough to operate a college department when that is the stipulation. Thamel continues, no decisions on the deal or any schools pondering other options are expected immediately. Why would they be? Why would they not just shove this further down the road, Jerem?
Yeah, keep it going.
Come on, this is so much fun.
Why not?
Campus leaders are digesting the possibilities of a stream-centric future and the variance in potential income. The money piece is tricky because of the variables of subscriptions. End quote. Mm-hmm. It gets better, my friend. CBS Sports' Ross Dellinger reporting that the Pac-12's presentation actually featured two different proposals, at least, maybe more, one less lucrative than the other, depending on the amount of subscription-based incentives met and the addition of outside linear partners. Oh, linear is still in the conversation?
It sounds like secondary or tertiary.
Holders. Okay. Yeah. Such as, he continues, ESPN and Fox, who would have or would share, rather, in the broadcasting rights of marquee games. Mm. Yeah, to your point.
Well, marquee would be primary. Right?
I have no idea.
Marquee, third best game. No, that's the best game, right?
Yes. What do you make of all of the details that emerged yesterday around the Pac-12 and this supposed deal?
If I was George Kliavkoff and my best deal was based on subs for Apple TV Plus, I wouldn't have shared that yet either. Because ask MLS pre-Messi how that was going.
Oh, Messi has saved it.
It wasn't good. There's no Pac-12 Messi, Spence.
I know.
To save them. Not even Caleb, Williams this year would save them.
The 1 year of USC?
Yeah, but obviously they're out of the league next year. This stinks. It's not good because you're not going to get enough subs. Like, it's hard enough for people to want to pay for platforms that they already want. But there's too many, right?
What I'm gathering from this is the Pac-12 network is now going to be absorbed by Apple Plus. So, like, instead, the Pac-12 network will go away, and then it would just be streaming on Apple Plus to take up all of those Pac-12 network games.
Yeah, they'd get all the games that, say, ESPN and Fox don't do. It becomes the second biggest sports product outside of MLS. To me, that's bigger than the Pac-12 by itself.
Yeah.
On Apple TV Plus or whatever it's called. Frankly, I don't even know the name. Is that the name? Apple TV Plus?
Yes.
Or is it Apple Plus?
I believe you are correct. Apple. Okay, I think
either
is acceptable.
Okay. Thank you, Alex Trebek. rest in peace. But, yeah, it's tough, man. I don't think this is good enough to hold everybody together. I would think that if you're Arizona, you're going, not good enough. Now, if you get enough subscribers, or heretofore known as subs, then yes, but that's not going to happen.
How do you base a
that's
budget?
That's not going to happen,
Jerem. How do you base a budget on that type of variable?
Like, it even can't fluctuate.
Even Washington State's chancellor and athletic director are on record saying, like, we cannot run our school and athletic budget on something that has a streaming variable.
I agree.
We need locked in money from linear channels.
Yes, and year to year, you're hoping to sell a certain amount, outside of the TV deal. So, like, You work in that space where you don't know how much you're going to bring in exactly. But with TV deals, they really want, like, okay, we know this is the number. And you know the number is 31.7 with the Big 12. You don't know what it's going to be there. Plus, listen, it's one thing when you're on, I have YouTube TV. I love it. I can zip around and change the channel easy.
They've got a function that allows you to watch multiple games at the same time.
Yes, I signed up for Red Zone. Or, sorry, for Sunday Ticket, I'm going to be able to watch 4 NFL games at a time. It'll be great. Blah, blah, blah. I can record unlimited DVR. I love it. This is not a paid promotion. I'm just saying I like that spot. Although, if you want to pay me, that'd be great, YouTube TV. But with Apple, you have to exit the app to get to the other channels where you've got to have multiple TVs. It's not a great setup. Like, that's the best you could do. That's not good enough, honestly, to keep this league together. I think if that's the best they can do, and that's what it sounds like, based on the reports, they're going to be done. If I'm the other three corners, I'm out of there. Which, by the way, to the point we were making yesterday about the report of Utah's not answering the phone, of course they're answering the phone. Utah's not that dumb. Like, yes, they have hubris and don't want to be perceived
well,
as following BYU.
It came out that
they've got to be talking
that
to
report,
the Big 12.
That information was delivered a number of weeks ago. So maybe a number of weeks ago, they weren't really answering the
Perhaps,
phone.
Perhaps, but they've
but things have changed dramatically in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, if I'm Utah, I don't leave unless I have to. But the remaining three corners, like, they could totally make the jump soon. Who knows? Arizona State could be like, yeah, we're doing this. That's not good enough. We're not going to make enough money. We can have stability there.
Yeah.
And basketball will fit in there just fine, Arizona and so on. It's not good enough, Spence. I if I'm a Pac-12 fan, I'm very disappointed.
I know you love soccer, and I know
you
love Messi. I love Messi. He's incredible. And he
I still don't have Apple
neither do
TV
I.
Plus,
that
though.
Is my point.
I just watched the highlights.
It was almost strong enough for me the other night where I was like, maybe I just buy the rest of the season just so I can watch Messi because it is so unbelievable what he's doing to Major League Soccer.
Yeah.
And then I got further down the road, and I was like, nah, I'm not going to pull the trigger. And he is a super powerful entity, driver, to push eyeballs and subscribers to that, right? So if Messi can't get me to order half a season of MLS, as much as I love college football and West Coast college football, I'm not paying extra to buy a Pac-12 specific package so that I can then exit my linear channels on YouTube TV or wherever and go and watch Oregon State play Cal. Like, that's not going to happen. I will watch the highlights later.
Yes, and if it's a big-time game, it should be on a big-time channel.
Yes.
Like, it should be on Fox or ESPN or CBS, whatever. Like, they need to get that deal. I'm almost a little frustrated for them.
Yes,
at this
point.
This
sucks for
the
Pac-12.
Centric. Yes, this stinks for them. And it's probably the demise of
now,
the league.
What I thought was going to happen was, okay, they'll probably have like a primary linear party, and then I thought they were going to take like the Amazon Prime model where Maybe they have a Pac-12 game of the week on Thursday night and it streams on Apple. And then they have a Friday game that streams on Apple Plus. Maybe they do one each day. One game on Friday, one on Saturday, the rest are linear. I thought that's what was going to happen as far as the streaming options go. But to learn that it is primary streaming, this is not good. This is not good. Who's going to subscribe for this? Like, who is going to, like, and that variable, if I am Arizona and I'm looking at this going, we don't really know how many subscribers we're going to have. Can you just, like, guarantee us money and then you figure it out?
And then we make more on the top, like, commission off the top. Like, I'm a waiter. Plus tips.
Maybe it's like, okay, we're going to give you $20 million a year, and then if we hit these numbers, then you'll get $5 million more for each.
Yes.
I don't know. But even that makes me nervous if I am in one of these schools.
I wouldn't even recommend that for the SEC or Big Ten. Like, I would be like, I don't know. As popular as you are, I don't know. Like, if it was the NFL, that's the only league where I would go.
That
would crush it.
Amazon Prime's Thursday night game of the week works because it's the NFL.
And that's the NFL. It's so powerful.
It's the NFL.
Okay, topic two. Oh, by the way, BYU held fall camp practice number one yesterday. Head coach Kleinstocke and new defense coordinator Jay Hill both spoke to the media after. We'll play some of the best sound bites and our takeaways from practice, beginning with Kleinstocke saying there's a lot of unknowns headed into camp.
Yeah, probably, but the unknowns can run and they can they're very athletic, so that's a good sign. The players that are veterans that are here, returning players, done a great job in the PRPs teaching. And you could see it from the offseason that they had. The guys not only look good, but they're understanding the scheme, the technique, and that's a huge credit to what the players have done and the leadership on our team currently.
I counted 59 new guys. There's massive turnover for this team.
That was the number one takeaway for me. Oh my gosh, there are so many new faces. Who's that? We've talked to a lot of them, but still, like when they're all collectively gathered, I was like, oh my gosh. There is so much turnover. There are so many new faces.
We talked to the main guys, like the G5, P5, some of the FCS transfers. We haven't talked to every single one of them, though. I went through the entire roster Monday and kind of categorized them for my own just knowledge. And it was like, oh, my gosh, there are so many new guys.
Yes.
Which can be exciting. BYU lost some massive pieces. They've tried to replace them with guys who are going to be playmakers, but they've got to figure out who those playmakers are.
Yeah. Now, because there are so many new faces, it is the challenge of this staff and maybe the biggest challenge in this fall camp to figure out what they actually have and how to get the cliched best 22 on the field and then the reserves.
Hopefully
right
they
after
do their
that.
111th, Spence.
Everyone's got to do their 111th. But yes, understandably, because there are so many new faces, the urgency has also been increased to hurry this along. Like, okay, we got to go. We got to figure this thing out. Kalani spoke to that yesterday.
In order for us to get the competition, you have to give everyone reps. And if you just do it like a, you know, if we had a bunch of returning starters, and then you could probably give younger guys a rest. But now we got to compete. So the depth chart's not solidified, and that's we got to form that. In order to do that, you have to get a lot of reps and give everyone. Enough reps to be able to evaluate them completely.
Now, just based on how many new guys are coming in and hoping to make an immediate impact, when that final depth chart is released, there will be a number of surprises. Like, just prepare yourself for that.
Yes.
Like, whoa, I didn't think that guy was going to start.
Like, even the offensive line, just we could observe the last 15 minutes there. I was like, oh, Tyler Little.
He looks great. Looks great.
Like, I'm looking at that and going, oh, that's interesting or whatever. There's a lot of guys in this group, but yes, we have a good sense of, we know Keaton Slovis is the starting quarterback, we know Aiden Robbins is RB1. We don't know exactly where A.J. Vongpacha is going to fit in among the linebackers.
Where is, so yeah, on and so forth. Yeah. It makes it fun, though. This adds a level of intrigue to training camp for BYU and the always entertaining depth chart when it finally is released during game week.
Speaking of, here's Kalani on depth.
There's all the things like the alignment and the technique, but understanding the scheme, seeing how comfortable they are within the scheme. And a lot of that takes place when you get the pads on. Right now, we're just kind of going through the motions. But once the pads come on, we can kind of separate some people and see who's probably the ones that are going to compete for starting spots. But right now, it's important for us to give them all an honest look.
I think BYU is a deeper team than last year, meaning not familiarity. Depth is not familiarity with the player. It is quality backup. That's what depth is. I think BYU's better across the board in a lot of places.
And that's a good thing because, frankly, BYU's going to need that when they are playing 10 Power 5 opponents in a row. Like, we have seen BYU be absolutely just hammered by this in recent seasons. You know, you get certain key positions, you're like, oh, we're good. And then you're playing your third and fourth string linebackers or running backs or whatever, defensive backs at some points, and it's like, yikes, this is where the deficiency is. They've worked really hard to try and shore that up a little bit. We'll see. One of my bigger question marks going into camp was, what the heck is the defense going to look like? How much are they actually going to show to us in these viewing periods? New defensive coordinator Jay Hill spoke on the difficulty scheming to stop high-powered offenses in the Big 12 with his new look.
Well, just that. We're going to be facing a lot of great talent. We're going to be facing a lot of teams that put up points and yards. But, it's no different than college football anywhere else. I mean, you're going to have to every day line up and stop the run. You're going to have to line up and tackle well. You're going to have to line up and, you know, defend passes on third downs. So I think we focus more on just the task at hand. How do we get better each day right now? And obviously we'll take one opponent at a time as we get to the season.
Okay, a lot of cliches in there. But
ding, ding, ding.
But what I am hearing from Jay Hill, not just yesterday, but in interviews in the past and when he first got hired, is physicality, aggression, and detail. Those are the three words. Okay, physicality, aggression, and detail. How will that manifest itself when the games begin?
Hopefully more havoc.
Right? Hopefully more sacks.
Yes.
More disruption.
Tackles for loss.
But on the backside, there are going to be bigger plays given up, and like BYU's going to take more risks on defense, which will open them up on the backside more if they don't get home, they don't get to the quarterback.
Yes.
Prepare yourself for this.
BYU is going after the quarterback as opposed to holding a block. They're not relying on the linebackers to make every play. The D-line can actually go and make a play now.
Yeah.
They're going to blitz off the corner. They're going to safety blitz. They're going to bring the house. They're going to take risks they haven't before. That's not a risk taking place, generally speaking, Spence. You build a building, you got the money beforehand.
And then
you have all the utilities in perpetuity
for 10 years.
Forever. like in an account. You know what I mean? This is not a risk taking place. The riskiest place at BYU is going to be the BYU defense now. They're going to get after it, which we all like. No one, rarely does a DC come in and say, you know what? We're dropping eight. We got to play way more passive. We hope they give us the ball back or have a penalty. No one really says that. This is the opposite.
And frankly, it worked in certain situations beautifully. Like that drop eight, we're going to make the quarterback really take some chances.
Yes, just it was too much. And frankly, we've talked to a couple of players who are like, okay, I can play the way that I have been hoping to play at BYU now under this scheme. So the players are happy with this newness. Last but not least, Jay Hill on what key objectives he's looking for as they prepare for week one.
Establishing depth is critical right now. We got to figure out who our playmakers are, who we can most rely on when we need a play that's got to be made. Who are those guys that are going to step up and make it? We have a lot of new faces. We've taken some transfers out of the portal. We've taken a bunch of young freshmen that have just joined us that we expect to be really good players. So I would say depth, getting better with assignments and scheme is going to be critical, and then just finding out exactly who we are and our identity and personality.
Kalani Sitake said there is a different feel about this camp compared to all the others he's been in.
Probably because of the name tags. Who are you? Yes. They have names.
That
they have nameplates,
exactly,
by the way, on the back of the practice jerseys. They've not had that before.
Interesting.
If I recall correctly.
I had thought about that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot.
It helps,
yeah,
for
I was
sure.
Like, I was like,
observation.
Oh, yeah, that's Cole Eldridge, number 80.
Especially when, you know, there are so many guys that wear the same number on offense and defense.
Sometimes the same number on the same side of the ball.
Yes.
They've got to figure that out.
Get a little confusing.
You can't do that.
But, yeah, it's a different feel. For sure, because he's never had this much turnover. I mean, they really stirred the pot.
Yes. And not to mention the Big 12, not to mention a new defensive staff.
Yeah,
there's
not just new players, a bunch of new players.
There's a lot of new.
A ton of new staff. So it makes sense that it feels entirely different.
Yeah, he's staring at different coaches. He's staring at different players. Like, every other player is new, by the way.
Yeah, his defensive coordinator was his close friend, Eli Situiaki, for 7 years. He hasn't had a new defensive coordinator in his entire tenure at BYU until this year. So, yeah, you want new feel? There you go, right there.
Yeah, it feels very new.
Our question of the day, what are your takeaways from day one of BYU football fall camp? You put your blue goggles on or not, whatever, make some gross overreactions. However you feel, just respond. Mike Flores on Instagram says, I feel like BYU's players know how important this season is.
Oh, yeah.
Now that BYU is in the Big 12 Conference, I feel good energy vibes from the team, a little hop in their step, go Cougars. Deion Smith, we'll hear from him a little bit later this week, had a fun one-on-one with him, and he pointed out quickly, energy's so good the first few days. He's like, we'll find out who we really are by like day 7 or 8.
Yeah.
When the pads are on, it's hot, legs get a little heavy, then we'll know who we really are.
The plan, by the way, is full pads next Tuesday.
Okay.
So it'll be just a sec. Yeah.
Hashtag BYUSN to join the conversation.
After further review, aired last night, you can check it out on demand on BYUSN.com and the BYU TV app. And they highlighted, every touchdown from last year. It was awesome. It was the touchdown show. It might be the best show all year on BYU TV. That's a fun,
all touchdowns,
awesome show. Luckily, it was just BYU touchdowns, not the opponent.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, if we showed the opponent touchdowns, we'd be in big trouble.
It wasn't every touchdown.
Coming up, my one-on-one with running back Aiden Robbins at day one of practice. The running back room has an interesting nickname that they have bestowed upon themselves. What is it and why?
Bestowed.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by Feastbox Global Grill, a unique dining experience featuring Texas, Hawaiian, and Korean meats. Time to feast.
Of all the teams we've been on, I feel like it's the most depth at every position offensively.
This is probably the deepest room BYU's ever seen.
There's a different feel to the team this year, and I like it.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan.
I like the confidence.
Right?
Two newcomers feeling good about the group.
Yeah, leading that running back's room.
They've both been at two other schools, by the way. This is their third school. They have a sense of sort of what a team looks and feels like at the beginning.
We talked about that specifically in the interview that you're about to see, is what is it about BYU that makes the Cougars different for a guy like Aiden Robbins? Again, Deion Smith we'll hear from later this week. But there's also a new nickname for the running back's room. That and more discussed in my one-on-one with the new BYU RB1, Aiden Robbins.
Aiden, how would you sum up your first day of training camp as a BYU football player?
Oh, we're very excited, I'm not going to lie. It was good to get out there, get acclimated, get around my teammates and really get that first that first practice and the first official practice. I practiced in the spring, but it was nice to get the team periods, get the one-on-ones, all the action, man, with the guys standing all around. So it was nice, man. It was nice to be a part of BYU first Big 12 practice.
What are you trying to accomplish, especially in these first few days of camp?
Just getting the offense down, minimizing mistakes, learning my teammates, obviously learning the defense I'm going against, and just trying to perfect my craft.
How are you feeling as far as health and hand and being as close to 100% as possible?
Yeah, I feel good. Obviously, from this point on, your body's never going to be 100%. That's just how it is playing this game. But, I feel good, and I do my best to recover. That's part of my job, too. So,
what have you noticed that is immediately different about the culture around BYU football, especially out of practice?
Just a bunch of good human beings, man. There's a lot of good people around here. just being around this great place, all the beauty. I mean, look at the mountains behind us, man. It's crazy. I've said this a thousand times. I never thought I'd be in Utah, but look, here I am. I play for a great coach who's a better human being than he is a coach, which is great. I would love to. I mean, there's a bunch of great coaches out there, but you want to play for a guy that actually cares about you and loves you, and it's kind of a father away from home. Yeah, I'm really grateful for that.
Aiden Robbins is with us on BYU Sports Nation. How would you explain the BYU running backs room right now?
This is probably the deepest room BYU's ever seen. I've been a part of some really, really good running back rooms, specifically at Louisville. And, I love the guys, man. We all hold each other accountable. We all push each other to different heights. And, man, I'm just excited to see the stable go crazy this year. The step show, we call ourselves the step show.
The step show, what's the story behind that?
Because we're all steppers. We all step.
Okay. As you stare down Sam Houston State in you know, roughly a month from now, where do you feel like BYU football, as an offense specifically, has to improve the most?
I think just overall, just making sure everyone does their assignment. I mean, there's 11 people on the field at a time, and you can't have success unless all 11 people are doing their job. And that's from the O-line, the running back, the quarterback, and all the receivers, tight ends. Just everyone knowing their assignment and doing what they're supposed to do.
What's your quarterback like, specifically Keaton Slovis, and working with him?
Keaton's a great dude, man. I mean, that's my locker teammate. You know, we're next to each other in the locker room. We do a lot of things together. Obviously, there's a lot of media about both of us. And, you know, that's cool and all. But, man, above all, Keaton's a great dude. He's a leader. And, you know, that's what you want. You want your quarterback to be a leader. You want him to take control, take charge of things. And he does a great job of that. He's a pro. He's a pro at what he does.
When you see those preseason accolades, whether it be for you or for Kingsley Suamataia or for Keaton or for somebody else on offense, how do you handle those things, especially when there are so many question marks around BYU football because you have so many new moving pieces?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's a blessing, don't get me wrong. You know, I love all the preseason accolades, man, but I want the real thing. You know, I support my teammates. I'm happy for everything, but our goal right now is to win a championship and then everything will follow through.
Aiden Robbins again on BYU Sports Nation. I want to talk a little bit more about your quarterback. I've heard a number of your teammates on offense just explain him as a true general. Yeah. What is it about him and his demeanor on the field in practice that makes him a general?
Like I said, he's a pro. He comes to work every day. He's not only a vocal leader, but he's a leader by example. And I like to follow suit with that. You know, he watches film. He gets extra work in, and you can see he's hungry. You can see that he wants to do better, and you can see he wants to lead this team, and we all have the same goal in mind.
I want to talk about your running back teammates as well, just because I want to get Aiden Robbins' words. So when I say, you know, Deion Smith, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Speed. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. Great dude. That's my dog, man. I love all of them boys. Deion, Falau, Miles, Enoch, Louvet, everybody in the room, man. I love all those guys. LJ, you know, he just got here. But, yeah, we got a great room. It's about eight of us right now. All eight of us can go.
If you're already giving yourselves a nickname, there's a brotherhood there clearly, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure.
All right, Aiden, let's finish with this. Some BYU fans may have seen a certain promo that you were in recently. And Feastbox is a proud sponsor of BYU Sports Nation, okay? But you fumbled the pizza. When I asked you about it, you said, I don't fumble. I don't know why they had me do that. But they had you do that. Why did they have you do that?
I mean, we were all sitting at the table. We were filming a piece of a commercial. And, you know, Jody comes up. He's like, all right. Well, it wasn't Jody. It was, you know, one of the cameramen. And they're like, oh, okay, well, now we need someone to just trip over an imaginary rock and just drop the pizza. And everyone at the table just goes like this. And I'm looking like, what y'all looking at? They were like, oh, come on, Mr. Charisma. And I'm like, okay, all right. So then, you know, I just put my acting skills on. You know, hopefully with my career, then I can get a couple shots and an opportunity and get some acting in.
As the kids say, he's got the riz, right?
I got a little bit of riz. I can't lie. I got something in my pocket. It's on the holster.
I love it. Aiden, thanks for the time. Sure, great to have you out here at practice.
Thank you so much.
Oh, what a great personality.
He is Mr. Charisma.
Got the riz in my holster
in
here?
My holster?
Oh, what a fan.
He did a great job in
yes,
that.
Yes, yes, he did.
We recorded that, and then we saw when it came out, like you, we're like, oh, that was great.
That was great. Sold well by him.
I'm excited about this room like he is.
Yes.
Is it the deepest at BYU? No.
The step show.
That would be that's fun. I like the Harvey Unga Manase Tonga Fui Vakapuna group of 07. That's, to me, the deepest running back.
Can this ascend to that? That's a lot to ask.
No. But I like the room. So Aiden Robbins is clear number one. 1,000-yard rusher at UNLV last year. 2 years before that, Louisville barely played. Deion Smith comes in as Colorado's leading rusher. Didn't have big numbers, but he is a guy who's a senior looking for an opportunity as the change of pace number two guy. Hinkley Ropati and Miles Davis are the backups. Ropati became a screen game All-American type guy, if you will.
He burst onto the scene against Boise State and Stanford late
yes.
in the year.
Two great plays, the three great plays in those two games I can think of. Miles Davis had a breakout game, 13 for 131 and a touchdown, 70-yard run against Wyoming. Behind them, LJ Martin is the number 17 running back in the country that BYU signed after David Shaw resigned at Stanford. LJ Martin out of El Paso, top 300 ESPN kid. He is the future at the position. Nukuluve Helu, off a mission from Tooele, Inoke Nawahine, Utah State transfer, redshirted last year. Morgan Piper's been a linebacker safety, playing running back, and then Chase Hopkins is in the room as well. That is the group. I think BYU's got five viable guys. Not sure how much PT Martin's going to get. That's a stacked room with experience there. Helu, perhaps in the future. But it is a group with experience and talent. I like it a lot.
But if any of those first four show up in a game in a meaningful rep, I'm not worried. If it's Robbins or Deion Smith or Rapati or, you know, Miles Davis, they've all played meaningful snaps. So I feel like BYU has the depth that they need. If you guys get nicked up and have to sit out a few games, this is where every position needs to be. It's not right now, but this is what they are aiming for. And frankly, Blaine Fowler told us yesterday, you know, and he's dialed into the team closely because his son Gavin is one of the coaches. He feels like the running backs room, he agrees with Aiden, at least in terms of the deepest group on the team this year.
I go O-line there.
Yeah.
I go O-line. I think the O-line is
He said 1A and 1B. Awesome. 1A was the running backs, and then 1B was the offensive line.
Yeah, different in that you have five guys, right? But if BYU is truly 10 deep on the O-line, that is greater than, say, four deep on the
running back. It's a good problem to have, I would imagine. Okay, if your running backs and your offensive line both have the depth, okay, help out Keaton Slovis.
They know both need to be great. Let's go. If you missed any interviews, Deep Blue shows, games, segments, BYUSN.com, the free BYU TV app, or where you need to go.
Up next, what did Aaron Rodgers say about Zach Wilson? And why does it have BYU fans super excited? What does it mean for the future of the former BYU quarterback in New York? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Make sure to follow BYU Sports Nation on social media, Facebook, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Threads.
The show rolls on from Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jerem. It's time for today's headlines. Presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
BYU held its first practice of fall camp yesterday. Head coach Kalani Sitake liked the energy.
I like it. A lot of talent, a lot of depth, good competition. You know, we got a lot of reps in there, and so we'll watch the film. There's a lot of film for us to watch, but overall, energy day one's supposed to be like that, but there's a different feel to the team this year, and I like it.
In the portion we could watch, I got more energy vibes from the offense than the defense, which was interesting. Typically, the defense is the one that's a little
left.
Keanu Hill, specialist. The team is currently having a walkthrough as we speak. They'll practice this afternoon, full pads planned for Tuesday.
College Football Award watch list season continues, and BYU punter Ryan Rico has not surprisingly been named to the Ray Guy Award watch list again. This marks a third straight year. Maybe he'll punt enough to actually, you know, register in the national punter rankings this season.
Hopefully not. We don't want more punts. We just want good punts when BYU has to. ESPN's Pete Thamel reports the Pac-12 met with its presidents and chancellors yesterday, presented a primary streaming deal with Apple that is subscription-based with variable income, with perhaps ESPN and Fox supplementing the deal. Meanwhile, the Arizona Board of Regents made their meeting an executive one, going private 40 seconds into the meeting, so no one knows anything.
Okay. That pretty much sums it up. BYU women's soccer ranked number 13 in the United Soccer Coaches preseason poll. The
Underrated.
Cougars, currently the second highest ranked Big 12 team behind number 9 TCU. Mm-hmm. September 14th, the 9th ranked Horned Frogs visit South Field and BYU. Other Big 12 teams in the top 25 include 15th ranked Texas and number 24 UCF.
The Jets announced Zach Wilson as the starter in the preseason game against the Browns tomorrow in the NFL's Hall of Fame preseason game in Canton, Ohio. Hopefully the turf doesn't melt again.
Oh, yay, yay. Patrick Fishburne, former BYU men's golfer, this is a golf school, set the Corn Ferry Tour record. This is unbelievable. 107 straight holes played without a bogey.
That's amazing.
Par or better on 107 straight holes played in essentially AAA of golf.
I've done that without getting a bogey.
Yeah, how many holes have you gone without getting a par?
Without getting a par?
107?
Luckily, I got one last Friday, but we're good.
The former Cougars net ranked number 15 on the Corn Ferry Tour.
That's amazing. Daniel Schneeman, 2-for-5, 2 doubles, 2 RBI last night with the AAA Columbus Clippers.
And how about this? Iowa State starting quarterback Hunter Deckers has been accused of betting on Iowa State sports, including a 2021 Iowa State football game when he was the backup, according to Travis Hines and Randy Peterson of the Des Moines Register. Deckers would face permanent loss of eligibility if he's found guilty. He started all 12 games at quarterback for Iowa State last season. This could have significant ramifications on the Cyclones' future and certainly what happens on November 11th against BYU. Those are the headlines. Now let's opinionate in the whip. Cougar Whip Round presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
At Jets training camp yesterday, Aaron Rodgers had great things to say about Zach Wilson's progress this year and what it means for his NFL future.
He looks confident. His fundamentals, I think, are improving. He's throwing the ball on time because he's got all the other intangibles. He can run, he can move, he can throw on the move, he can throw no-look passes. Just to be a good reset for him. And I think he'll look back years from now and be really thankful for this time to grow, to reset, to take a breath, and it's going to set him up for a nice long career in the league.
Do you feel the same way about Zach's future?
Yes. In fact, the second that Aaron Rodgers was rumored to the New York Jets, we were on the show, and I was like, this is what I hope happens, for Zach when he got drafted, that he just had a time to be mentored by somebody great. Unfortunately, he went through some really, really tough growing pains and hit rock bottom in a lot of ways. But yes, I feel like this is such a great scenario for Zach, and I feel like he has a chance at a successful future because of what's happening in New York with Aaron Rodgers right
now. I agree. I think that future won't be with New York, though.
Maybe not. Yeah. But he's got a chance to be a decent to good quarterback in the NFL at some
point. Just be a backup for your whole time. That's good enough. We don't need a starter. We just need a guy with a sustained career quarterback in the NFL from BYU.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yesterday, Roar of Cougars, The Rock. Student section released their new logo and student pass information on social media. What do you make of the new look, Jaron?
It looks fine to me. I know there was a lot of backlash about digital lines and whatnot. I don't know what the answer is, but certainly they got a lot of feedback yesterday on the whole process, which was crazy, the word usage and so on. So hopefully they can figure it out. All I know is The Rock is awesome.
Yes.
They can figure out the means of getting the students in there. That's their thing. They do a great job at all the home games. That's what I know.
100%. As it pertains to the new look, I didn't think that people would feel so strongly about a new logo, but they do. Like, I saw it and I was like, oh, it's succinct. It's, you know, whatever. It's, I kind of do miss the Cougar swipe through the lettering.
I got Stussy vibes if you're a child of the 90s.
Yes.
Which we can all draw, you know, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, a little carrot.
All right. Let's play a game, shall we?
Okay, now it's time for a little game we like to play. We love to play this once a year. It's called Human or Bear.
What?
Yesterday, ABC posted this video from a visitor at a zoo in eastern China after spectators believed this was a human in a bear costume. Spencer, is that a human or a bear? Right now, it looks like a dude in a bear costume. And then when it sits down, I'm like,
it looks like a bear.
That's a bear. After internet research, it is a real bear. It's called a sun bear. But like right there, it looks like a dude in a bear costume.
When I first saw it, yes. When it's standing right there on its hind legs, I was like, that's a dude in a costume. Just like a huge like bear head and
we
like,
would
torso
be
up
dead
top.
If we saw this bear in the wild. We're like, you're a dude in a costume. No, that's the sun bear and you're dead. Yeah.
Also, the sun bear, when he stands on its hind legs, it's really close to the spectators. Like, I felt like it was really close to the bar. It's so tall.
Like, it's like Anchorman. They're, like, throwing a ladder down and fighting a panda or something. Yeah. Like,
it is international. It is in China. I don't know. The parameters and
the
rules are a little different over there.
Chinese zoos,
I'm surprised they let us show that.
Well, China's going to come after that.
You did not see the bear. It is not a human.
That was a human.
It is a sun bear. Still on the way. Olympian and new women's track and field assistant coach Tiffany Lott Hogan joins the show. Oh, yeah. Making her debut in Studio B on this show to talk, you know, about a track and field school, Jaron, right? BYU's a track and field school, too.
Track and field is everything, man.
This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We're live in Studio B alongside Jerem Jordan. I'm Spencer Linton. It's now time to welcome in another Olympian. You know, just a 10-time All-American.
Just a regular Wednesday here on BYU Sports Nation.
Three-time NCAA national champion. She is Tiffany Hogan.
And one of the greatest athletes ever at BYU.
Amen. New assistant coach to BYU Women's Track and Field. Your resume is impressive. Thanks. What else you got for us, Tiffany?
Well, I'm a little embarrassed. I am not matching you guys.
Oh, it's all good.
You didn't get the memo on
I
the
did
shirt?
Not get the memo.
It's kind of a weird look. But
we never talk about what we're going to wear. And so we actually made fun of ourselves at the top of the show because we don't plan this.
You've got royal. We got Navy. Yeah. You know, it's part we're of BYU.
You did your job.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Welcome back to BYU. Obviously, your great career at BYU. You were at BYU for a couple years after that. You've been all over the place. Weber State, notably, the last 9 years. So when did you and Jay Hill talk about coming down to BYU?
We did not, but I do love the relationship I had with Jay while he was at Weber State. He allowed me to coach some of his guys to be fast sprinters for us.
Nice.
So
okay.
Yeah, I shared some of
so
his.
So you name. Aided the Weber State ascension in football.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
Kalani Sitake is on line one right now, Tiffany. As is Jay. They're ready to discuss.
So Camden Garrett and Eddie Heckard. Did you work with those guys?
Actually, no, I didn't.
No?
Lie.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But a couple of fast dudes.
They are fast as well.
Some sprinters have made their way down to BYU. You're back at your alma mater. I mean, you ran track at BYU from 1994 to 1998. What does it mean to you to have this thing come full circle now as a coach at BYU?
I think it's pretty awesome. You know, when I got the job at Weber, I joke that at least I won't coach anybody to break my records. But that is my goal, is to coach people to break my records. You know, I had such a tremendous experience while I was here. I was coached by the great Craig Poole, who was the Olympic coach when I went in 2004. And so a great mentor. He tutored me in a lot of what I know. And so to be able to take that and implement it with the new era that we have in moving into the Big 12, I am super excited to take athletes to that next level.
What is the challenge of being in the Big 12 in track and field? Because obviously Texas, a member of the Big 12, hosted.
Yeah.
I was down there for, you know, a couple hours. It was a big scene. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And BYU represents well. Like, BYU has become this incredible cross-country track program. Mm-hmm. And now they're in the Big 12. And now they've got you. And now it's this new era. What is it like to be a part of that? Which feels like BYU's had a great program for a long time. It feels like this is maybe the best BYU's ever been in this space.
Well, I think it's a great transition for me coming in and moving into this. They went from not having a conference championship to now going in and having an indoor and outdoor championship, where now we become a little bit more unified team, because track and field can be very segregated. You've got your distance team, you've got your throws group, you've got your sprints group, and my group it's kind of on its own little group. And now we're going to be a more unified group, cheering for each other even more so, because every point counts when we come to conference. And it's not just about getting those national qualifiers, which of course we really, really want those, and getting national championships and All-Americans and all that, but now to get all conference titles and that kind of stuff. Because some of our athletes maybe aren't going to move on to the national championships or even to the Olympics, but to get that level down, which is not really much of a level down, because to get into that level, you're still got to be incredibly talented.
Now trust me, we're all in on conference context with you.
We are excited about football being in that. And for those who don't know, outdoor track have always been independent.
Yes.
But indoor was in the MPSF, which is the same league as men's volleyball.
Yes.
MPSF is basically like, are you in the West and don't have a league? We will gather
There's
you.
There's a place for you.
They had Pac-12 teams in some sports,
Tiffany Hogan is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Now, as you work with that iStone and so many others in the track and field program, what specific responsibilities will you hold, and how will your role be, I guess, specified when it comes to how you coach these athletes?
Well, the event group that I'm over is the multis, which is considered the heptathletes, decathletes, and any of the jumpers. So pole vault, high jump, long jump, triple jump. And then just managing all of the things that they need to implement with the multis. The men have 10 events to train for. So they're throwing things, vaulting, jumping, going over hurdles, sprinting, and the women are doing most of all the same without the vaulting. And then I'm also over the pole vaulters, and we have another coach that's assisting me with that, Rick McWhorter. And so I'll be implementing all of their strength and their speed and that kind of thing to make them better athletes. So when they get on the runway, they can do
Rick and Zach.
They need,
Rick's
right?
kid Zach was unbelievable, yep. And he's still unbelievable, which is super exciting. What's your what are you looking forward to the most about this new challenge?
I think it's being able to work in an environment that is more closer to the culture I was raised in, having higher ethics and knowing that working with high achieving people. Because that's what BYU draws in, is those athletes that really want to be the best. Not that the previous program I was at didn't want that, but the athletes here are very high-minded in what they want to achieve and are willing to make the sacrifice to get there.
Okay, out of all the records that you set and still hold at BYU, yes. which is going to be the toughest, do you think, for one of your athletes to break?
Probably my 55-meter hurdle world record, because we don't really run that anymore.
Not because it was hard, but because it's rough.
So there's only a few facilities that really run the 55-meter hurdles. Now okay. everybody runs the 60s.
That's going to be tough.
So it's a little harder to try to break that. So it's tough.
Like anyone can go and see these records, by the way.
Yeah.
They're on the track. They're in the indoor. They're up there. What's it like to still see your name up there?
It's pretty fun. And it's fun to bring my kids and say, hey, that's mom.
Do they realize how good you were? Do they have any sense?
I don't know. I think they do, but not to the sense that I know how cool I was.
You're like, hey, mom was pretty awesome back in the day. Yeah. Where is this program compared to where it was when you were here, in your opinion?
I feel like it may be just a touch behind as far as some of the sprints and things like that, but it's nothing to do with the coaches. It's just trying to draw the athletes back into Provo and get that elevation again.
Does the Big 12 aid in that?
I think so. I think it will. I think it will.
Because, we've talked most, there's some good sprinters on the team, but you're right, getting to that point where, there's a 55-meter hurdle world record.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Distance has been the strength here, but now we can get into other spaces.
Let's take the sprinters to the next level, right? Let's get
them
back to where you were.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there have been some throwers as national champs and so on and so forth. But mainly we're like, steeplechase is our thing, right? 5K, 10K. Yes, there are a lot of events to go into.
Yeah.
Awesome.
There's a lot of events in track and field.
Coach, it's great to have you back
Thank you for having me.
Provo. Thanks for hanging out with us in Studio B.
Yeah, welcome back.
Thank you.
It's always a good day when we have an Olympian on the show.
We like that.
Not to mention the three-time national champion. So.
Basically, if you don't hit that criteria, we don't even consider you at this point.
It's a very high standard.
There's so many Olympians, it's just
very high standard.
Exactly.
All right, up next, more from your takeaways after day one of BYU football training camp. What stuck out to you? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
What are your top takeaways from day one of BYU football training camp? That is our question of the day. Justin J. Crowder on Facebook answers, I didn't hear, guys are flying around. I am now worried and disappointed.
Wait, are they flying around? If you don't say they're flying around, are they not flying around? Yeah.
We heard tons of good vibe and good energy, but no flying around. Yikes. It's a bad element.
Problems in camp.
Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, comes from Thank You Larry Scott on Twitter.
Of course, someone would put this in as elite. What?
Says day one takeaway, the same as every year. 15-0.
Yep.
This is our year.
Yep,
All we need is a few breaks. No injuries. Let's go.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the pitch gets a little higher when you read that. The day one takeaway. I love it.
Thank you, Larry Scott. Oh my goodness. Today's Rise and Shadow presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about to the running back room, which we learned is nicknamed Step Show.
The Step Show.
Because they are stepping. Oh, we got a poster for him and everything.
We got a movie promo.
Yeah, we got a movie poster.
The Step Show. We need to clip this off. I'm not kidding. And send it to Aiden and to Dion.
Yeah, they're going
to
love that.
To Miles and Hink. All of the running backs are going to love this.
I think it's rated R, though, for violence. Because they're going to be running
Jeremy,
through pools.
In our day and age. Violence can be tolerated. PG-13. It's all good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's PG-13.
Well, I wanted some excessive violence.
That's funny. Great stuff. Great work by our crew. Our thanks to today's guest, Aiden Robbins.
And Tiffany Hogan.
And Tiffany Hogan, that's right.
Sergeant Dennis Pittman ran out of time, not an Olympian.
All right, for Jerem, I am Spencer. Shout out to Lake Hemuli.
Nice.
We'll see you tomorrow for more BYU Sports Nation. Go Cougs. Football's back!